Starting.
So let's just start Yud-Aleph again. Again, we're at page 67. Simon Chav Hey, Yud-Aleph. Achar Shekasha Shalyad Al Zroa. After you tied the Shalyad on your arm, Yaniach Shal Rosh Kodem Shiachro Chag Ritzuas Savil Al Zroa. So as we did yesterday, so Machaber says, before you do this, the twist, the twines around your forearm, you should put on the shel rosh. So you put on the shel rosh before. So in other words, you tighten the shel yad, go around maybe once, and then again, before you do the twines around the arm, you should put on the shel rosh. Because we try to put on the shel rosh as soon as possible. Now again, so the Mishnah Berurah points out that the twining, the kricha, the winds around the arm, eno me'akev minadin, do not destroy your mitzvah. Do not destroy your mitzvah. So as I was discussing yesterday, Rahman Aslan Lo'alenu, someone has a broken arm, Rahman Aslan. Again, as long as the area where the tefillin should go is still intact, you know, is exposed, but so even though they might have something on their arm, right, they might have a cast on their arm or whatever, that's not a problem. They could still put on tefillin. They could still put on the tefillin. Because again, the wrappings around the arm do not destroy the mitzvah. Now, what we really left with yesterday is a few people here were perplexed because that's not our minug, right? You don't see people. I know I didn't see it. Maybe I did, I'm not sure. But I heard it reported very reliably that an Adam Galahu will remain nameless, since I didn't see it firsthand, but he actually did that. He did it, and then he did three twines. We'll see how many. He didn't do all the twines around his arm, and then he put on the shel rosh. But curiously enough, I heard that he told his son not to do that because of what we're about to say. Then the Mishnah Berurah brings down, and this is going to be interesting. I don't know if we'll get to it today. But brings down from the Ari, the Kavanas of the Arizal, who says that the Ari used to do seven twines. Well, first of all, that's interesting. First of all, it's seven, right? Now, again, there's different customs how you do the seven, right? Is it seven or is it six and two halves? You know, like, okay, but that's a different...
Four and one.
Yeah, there's all, you know, like, I don't there's all sorts of things. Two, four, and one. In other words, like separate.
Yeah.
Separate. Right? So again, these are past my pay scale because we see right away, right, this is Arizal. So already, you know, like, again, people misunderstand. They think that, you know, the Arizal is all. But here we see, and this is, of course, there's many times in Mishnah Berurah, the Mishnah Berurah brings down that we go like the Arizal. As an example. Now, it will be, now again, I don't know if we'll get to it today, maybe tomorrow, I don't know when, maybe, but on the next daf, on the next page, it's going to be a very, very interesting and important Mishnah Berurah, where the Chofetz Chaim is going to lay down some of the rules of psak, meaning, let's say there's a clash between the nigla and the nister, as we call it, right, between the Gemara and things are written in Kabbalah's form. Which way do we go? When do we go? So again, it's going to be very interesting, but that's the next phase. So again, that's coming attractions. But
what's the source of the seven?
Again, that's the Arizal. The Arizal says to do seven.
Before him, they didn't do seven?
No, I don't know. I wasn't around then.
Throughout Tanakh, the number seven is considered very
special. Yeah, yeah. So again, you can't mess with the number seven, but you know, like, again, it's, yeah. But interestingly enough, the Mishnah Berurah says in brackets that he used to put on the seven, but not the three that go around the finger. right? Because we know there's three wraps around the finger, we'll get to, right? So that's what, he didn't do that. Just did the seven, and then, but not the three. Then he pawned the shal rosh. And we know, and the Mishnah Berurah says, v'chein aminog b'kama makom, so that is the custom in many places. Then, interesting enough, he brings down the Mishkan of Yaakov, and also the Malbim also says a similar idea, that if you, and I always thought about this, but, you know, again, it's the Mishkan now, that if you just, let's say, go according to the Mechaber, now again, maybe there are people who do it, I don't know, and you just go around, and you don't do the seven, I don't know, but I have a feeling that the Shalyad part will fall apart. Not fall apart, will undo, right? So in other words, the whole idea is not to make more of a separation between the Shalyad and the Shalrush more than is necessary. So therefore, again, these wrappings around the forearm are not an essential part of the mitzvah. So don't do those and put on the Shalrush, which is a part of the mitzvah. So therefore, but I, again, the Mishkan Sanhedrin says, if you don't do the twines, forget whether it is or it is, it just holds the Shalyad in place. So in other words, you're right, the wrappings around the forearm is not part of the mitzvah or an integral part of the mitzvah. But Lamaisa, if you don't do it, the main part of the mitzvah might fall off. So in other words, and indeed, that's what the Mishkan Yaakov says, that lichra kodem al azra lechizuk, the belav haki lo miskayim, because if you don't do the twines around the arm, around the forearm, the shalyad won't stay. Right?
You have to put it back in the Masechet Bracha over again.
What?
If the shalyad slips because it's not tight enough.
Yeah, I don't know if you'd make a new bracha. Maybe have in mind this.
Just
tight. Yeah. But we will get to, again, we touched on that before. Let's say you put on the shal rush and then it slipped out. So, right? So we saw a whole discussion. Do you have to move off the shal rush and then put on the shal yad and then the shal rush, right? Do it in order. We saw a whole Ber Halacha on that, right? About, and Mishnah Berurah also. Okay, so anyways, but that answers a bunch of questions. Number one, the Mechaber said that put on, don't do the seven wraps, put on the shal rush right away. Well, I don't know, I haven't seen anybody. Not that I watch people so much when they put on the villain, you know. But again, I don't know if you see so many people doing that. Again, I heard in the name of a reliable source from an Adam Gadol, that he only did three. Maybe because he felt that three would be the minimum to hold it in place. Then the other four are extra. And that, not extra, but, you know. So again, but supposedly, he told his son that to do just the seven. And I think I saw Taka video of his son, who was an Adam Gadol, who did all seven. Remember, I have to recheck that. But believe another. Okay. And that also answers what is the source for the wrappings around the arm? That we do seven, right? So the answer is Ari. And the Mishnah Berurah brings it down. Now, let's go back upstairs. V'yesh misha omer, there are those who say, there is an opinion, she'asur, now this is very interesting, she'asur lahotzi tefillah shel rosh me'atik ad she'tehe tefillah shel yad munechas. There is an opinion that says, the Mechaber says, that you're not allowed to take out the shel rosh from the bag until you have the shal yad on. Now, you're going to ask why, right? So the Mishnah Berurah says, I guess we're on a roll today, the Mishnah Berurah says, ki yesh b'zeh tam al pi Kabbalah. It's a Kabbalah reason. And again, the Mishnah Berurah talks about that, how about it, you shouldn't even take them out at the same time, right? Or you should, you should leave the shal rush in the bag until you have the shal yad on.
Does that mean all the way to the end on the hand, or just? No.
The seven. Well, according to the Mechaber, it's not any of the wrappings, and according to what we just said in the Mishnah Berurah, it's the wrappings. But again, and only then could you take out the shal rush. The Rama says, The af im shneam lefana chutz latik. Like I said before, let's say they're both in front of you, outside. In other words, either you took them out at the same time. Let me give you an example. Like you took out the wrong one first, right? You took out the shel rush first, right? So we learned that you put on the shel yad anyways. You pass over the shel rush and you put on the shel yad anyways because that's the order that it is in the Torah. So then you say, well, they're both out already, you know? Or I think I saw somebody do this one. They unwrap both of them because that way you have less of a gap after you put on the shel yad, right? You don't have to, you know, tomo with other, right? It's ready to go, boom, right? So you can, based upon what we've been saying is we try to minimize the gap between the shel rosh and shel yad. You can imagine somebody wanting to do that. So now the Mechaber is saying, no, don't do that. And the Rama says, even if they're both out, lo yisakin liftoach hatfila shel rosh, you shouldn't open, right? Opening because I assume... I mean, now we have the fancy ones, you know, that envelop the, you know, goal. But I remember when I was bar mitzvah, that's the year it changed, really, believe it or not. That's when they came out with the gassos. 1970. I remember what was cool, you know, when you're 13, what's cool about the tefillin is the caps. Wow, those caps are so cool, you know. They were, you know, they just had square little things that went on top. So the cool ones were that they had silver ones, but not made out of silver. It was just metal, but they were cool. But what was really cool is when Hillel Kellerman got the first guy in my class. He got the, so we were, wow, those caps are so cool. The Rebbe said, no, the tefillin are the tefillin are made out of gosses. It's a whole different thing here, you know. No, but the caps were cool. So, but I assume, you know, all the way back they had caps, you know, because you want to protect the tefillin. So
the price go up dramatically when the gassis came out?
Well, they went up dramatically because they're more expensive.
Right.
You know, their cows, their bull neck leather, not, you know, sheep. So it's a lot more expensive. Yeah, but believe it or not, the gassos, believe it or not, I saw Ramosha's talk to Rabbi Bluth about this, and Rabbi Bluth also talked that they all think that the gassos are better, but there are problems with the gassos that people don't realize. In certain aspects, the sheep is better. The gassos, they have to put glue in and hold it together. It's not so simple. But sheep, you didn't have that problem.
Do they still sell
sheep? I'm sure they do. I'm sure they sell the sheep. I don't want to get into it. I don't know. So anyway, but that's what everybody had for all those years. Until 1970. That's when, because they couldn't form, we'll get to it later, they didn't have the technology to form, you ever see, I'm sure they have it somewhere, a video, you know,
yeah.
You can watch how they, it ain't easy. They have to use presses, and bull's leather is very difficult to work with.
Yeah, sure.
And don't forget the tefillin have to be precise. We'll get to that. Perfectly squared in a lot of different ways. So, so it's not so simple. So, again, around that time, I guess it was that time. Because nobody had before that guy in our class, for Hillel Kellerman. So, okay, so again, getting off the track here. So you shouldn't open up the caps and, you know, of the shel rosh ad achar anach shel yad until you put on the shel yad. Okay, and the Rama continues. Yesh mi shekasav. Some there is an opinion, right? Yesh mi shekasav. Some wrote la niach. Shel yad miyushav v'shel rosh meumad. Next page, sorry. Page 68. That you should put the shel yad on while you're seated. And you should put the shel rosh on while you're standing. Now, if you look in the brackets, in the parentheses, excuse me, it's very interesting because who does he cite as the, who's the Rama cite as the source of this? The Zohar. Right? Right? But the Rama says, but in our lands, right, Ashkenazi town, the custom is not like that. Ella, shteyam umad, right? We put on both the shalyad and the shalrush standing. Now the Mishnah, now it's very interesting, like I said before, because the source for that, well, you know what, we're running a little late, so maybe we'll get into this. But again, this is going to lead us into Yemir Sashem tomorrow's discussion about how do we go in Psak? Do we go according to Kabbalah sources or not Kabbalah sources? Or like, how do we work that? Now, you saw again from today that we just don't necessarily discount Kabbalah sources, right? But again, we'll discuss this a little more tomorrow when we're talking about this issue of how do we put on tefillin? Seated, standing, half and half, you know, like, what's the story there? Okay, Meretz Hashem, we'll pick this.